The Eyes of the Lord, the Biblical Worldview, Commentary for the October 24th, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord." Joshua 24, verse 16a. According to the United States Geological Survey, over 70% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. The same source also tells us that our bodies are 60% water. Even our bones, hard as they are over 30% water. It seems, given our makeup, fortuitous that we live on such a wet planet. One might think that we would find ourselves loving water, since it is so vital to our being. However, strange as it might seem, mankind often prefers other liquids to water, such as sodas or alcoholic beverages. We even add flavor aids to water to make it more palatable. We're so disdainful of water that we are too often not careful in protecting our abundant water supplies from pollutants. As I write this, our own local aquifer is contaminated with polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS, found in fire retardant chemicals used by a nearby military base. Even though we now pipe in water from a less contaminated source, many now use bottled water, fearing to trust the public water supply. The half-life of PFAS is so long that even if the chemicals are no longer being used, many of us will not live to see them gone from the water table. Unfortunately, we pour pollutants into the ground, never stopping to think or ask ourselves, will I one day have to drink what I am pouring into the earth? Too many of us find it far less taxing to act without thinking. This not only affects mankind, it also affects the animals who depend on those natural sources of water to sustain them. They do not normally seek out other sources when thirsty like we do. They prefer water. This preference reflects an overall difference between man and animal. Several decades ago, when I was attending college and making heavy use of the theology stacks at the school library, I became aware of this difference when I discovered that several writers spoke about man being the only creature that chooses to dishonor God. The rest of creation, as an extension of God's creative glory, glorifies the Creator without effort to do so. But mankind will go to great effort to not glorify God, even denying his existence. Perhaps they do not realize that the effort spent may be more a sign of God's existence than not. As Shakespeare once wrote in Hamlet about Queen Gertrude watching an actor overacting in a play. She said that the actor protests too much, meaning the protestations revealed the truth of the matter rather than the desired opposite view of the one protesting. Throughout recorded history, we have seen opposition to the idea of creation by God in any biblical sense. That opposition has evolved over time. According to the Bible, initially it was a simple choice to walk away from God and follow one's own will, as with Cain. But eventually, even those who walked away felt the need for worship, and they created alternative gods, idols, as objects for veneration. Religion in these circumstances became a means to secure political power, allowing aspiring tyrants to vault themselves into rule over many through the endorsement of priestly castes. Since these were religions created by man, they evolved to serve the interests of those who created them. Eventually, even those who served God as creator saw some advantages to using religion in this way, and either apostatized to become idol worshippers, or tried to introduce ways to seek power over others to the true worship of the Creator. Ironically, the most effective means to do this was to call it religious freedom. They forget that Cain's slaying of his brother Abel was founded in a similar idea that he should be free to offer vegetables instead of a sacrificial lamb. Cain's position is a refutation of the idea that the remission of sin is through the shedding of blood. Perhaps he was wanting to return to the bloodless conditions of Eden. Although the Bible tells us that similar conditions are to be restored one day, Cain was apparently unwilling to wait. His actions were like trying to force the gates of Eden to reclaim what was lost. But the angel with a flaming sword in Genesis underscores that such attempts will fail. It begs the question as to whether Cain's attempt to force restoration of Eden with vegetables is all that different from those who attempt to do the same by eating only a vegetarian diet today, claiming they do so because it was the original diet in Eden. The attempt to coerce others into doing the same may tell us whether these are the teachings from God or mankind reflecting the desire of Cain, the first to demand that things be done his way. Alternatively, the biblical worldview is one that sees man as created by God, and like the rest of creation, glorifying God through positive interaction with the Creator and all other creatures. Nothing in the biblical creation account says that man was created to have dominion over the rest of mankind. Those ideas only began to arise because of the falling away when the first pair walked away from God and hid from his presence. This left such an empty void in our being that some sought to fill it with following bold individuals who were willing to assume the position of power and control formerly held only by God. Individuals like Nimrod, the reputed founder of Babylon. Throughout the Old Testament, and even into the book of Revelation, the Bible is a story of the conflict of two worldviews, one represented by Jerusalem, the site of God's temple, and the other by Babylon, the seat of power and control through religion developed by mankind. Eventually, the worship represented by Babylon makes such inroads in Jerusalem that the city falls to Babylon, and the Jews who wanted to worship the idols of Babylon are taken captive and forced to serve those whom they had aspired to emulate. But after 70 years in captivity there, those who had learned their lesson about idol worship were given an opportunity to return to Jerusalem and start over. Most, apparently won over by Babylon's worldview, remained in that city. But a remnant returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city and the temple despite persistent opposition from those who preferred the Babylonian system and would once again have Jerusalem a part of that system. To their credit, those who returned to Jerusalem and their descendants never again willingly allowed idol worship to become established. This does not mean, however, that they did not fall prey to the principles behind Babylon's worldview. Even though their religion was based upon worship of the true Creator, too many still saw it as a stepping stone to power and control over others. Eventually, the power of Babylon was replaced by that of Greece and then Rome. Each brought with them the idea that religion was the worshiping of idols and a means to control others by manipulating belief to suit the ends of those in power. Although they did not submit to idolatry, the Jews were so infused with the idea of religion being a means for an elite to rule over others, that once again, Jerusalem and its temple were destroyed, this time by the Romans. The temple has not been rebuilt since. Perhaps this is because the Jews, and by extension the rest of mankind, has not learned that religion is not about an elite assuming control over others to enrich themselves. Individuals like Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn are examples of the ongoing truth of this failing in our nature. Too many, even of the poor and downtrodden, see the church as a gateway to wealth and power. Sadly, the church has done more to advance that idea than to refute it. The life of Christ modeled exactly the opposite perspective. His poverty silently mocked the wealth and ostentation of the religious leaders and rulers of his day. The epitome of God's worldview may be seen in his example. When he picked up a towel and a basin of water, and though he was creator of all, he humbly washed the feet of his bickering disciples. He told them they should do likewise. Some have mistaken that to mean that washing feet was to become an ordinance of the church. But the real message was that we were to eschew the pursuit of power over one another, that we might be free to consider their needs equal to our own. Very few have achieved that, even among those who profess to follow Christ. Everything in this world tells us to reject that view and instead pursue wealth and power. But when we look past the glitter and the neon lights, we see the broken people and the failures of our world as nature chokes in thrall to mankind's depredations, seeking a return to God's plan for creation. There is a better way. A fountain of life. Who will drink from it? Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find additional commentaries and the scripture footnotes for this commentary at our website at stillwaters.ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Blessings on you and your family.